our Lord Jesus Christ, His grace, the love of the Heavenly Father, and the blessed unity of the Holy Spirit be with us. This Sunday evening, we will for a moment yet quieten ourselves and study the Word of God that is written in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, from the beginning to the 15th verse plus verse 21. The words are in Jesus' name. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and also gave unto her husband with her. And he did eat, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I am thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. On to Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Dear brothers and sisters, you have, I'm sure, heard when the other brothers have risen here. We have heard many personal psalms. How everyone has one's own worthlessness has pressed. I would add that snake of which this text speaks, it feels as though this snake is glued to my skin. Sometimes it raises me and sometimes it slams me down, but it has not encouraged me through the Word of God to achieve this task, I feel that I need that gospel, the strength that it gives, so that I can carry out this task. Can I believe all my doubts and temptations and sins forgiven? I want to believe. This text began speaking of this snake. What snake is meant here? You boys and girls, I see there are many of you, even though the evening is late. You know what snakes are. Some one of you may even have one as a pet in a terrarium. And you know a lot that in the wilderness we have the goose snake. And I have seen this snake a few times. And it is startling when you come upon it suddenly. But is this text talking about this kind of natural snake? Can we think? Previously in this book of Genesis, we could see how God created all the animals. All those animals that God created, they were good in the eyes of God. God did not create such a creature that lied. So this snake is a picture of something else. This snake here, it depicts the enemy of the soul, the liar. We know this creature has many ugly names, which we will not repeat here, as there are little children present who might not understand. This snake, it came slithering into that beautiful paradise and began speaking to the woman. And this was the partner of Adam, Eve. And in a slimy way, he says, "Did God tell you, don't eat from all the trees?" And there is a suspicion. Is this familiar to you, dear brother and sister? Does this snake, does it begin to cause you to doubt? You heard this text. And Eve answered first and said that we don't eat from that tree because God told us not to. But oh, poor Eve, we might say. And we ask ourselves that if you would have been in the place of Eve, would you have been more successful? Haven't we many times had to talk with this snake? And many times that snake has won. So it happened, that enemy of the soul, he began to paint a different picture. He said, "No, it's not that way. You don't have to die. Even though God warned you that you would die if you eat of this tree." But he paints a much prettier picture. He said that God knows that someday you will eat from this tree, and then your eyes will be opened, and then you will know good from evil. The Word of God It was very simple. There was not a big Bible back then. There was just one task given. Go forth and multiply and fill the earth. This command was given to all the animals and even the first human pair. This same command exists. There was only one rule, that you can eat everything in paradise and enjoy the fruits. But there was one tree. It was forbidden to eat from this tree. And the enemy of the soul begins to show the human pair, no, God just wants to keep you small. But just think, if you eat from that tree, you will be just like God. What do we say about the current times? What is the position of people today? Isn't it so that people want to be like God? People want to have whatever God they want to have. They don't want to be satisfied with the God of the Bible. This conversation, it led to a very bad outcome. Eve took an apple and gave one to Adam. And it looked so good. It was pretty. It had a good taste. And so it is with sin today. We weak people, often we look at sin and it looks so tempting. This snake that is tempting each and every one of us, even today, the snake is not offering the same apple to each of us. This snake knows us, and it knows us well. And it knows what weakness goes with which person. This snake knows how to attack. This temptation is different for you, dear young person. And for a very old person, the temptation is different. And if you live in a family, or if you live alone, that temptation is different. But that snake, it is there, tempting. We would end up being slaves to this snake, and he would just swallow us. Without this faith. Then I want to say a few words that if we have a question about matters of faith or matters of life, who should we ask for answers? Where should we seek for help today? People today, when a person has a problem, don't they first these days turn to Google? We go to internet and we start hunting for answers from the internet. If you have a lump on your thumb or you have an earache, we go to the internet and look for answers. So Google may be a good help. But if we are looking for answers concerning God, or what does God want to tell us about His Word? Isn't it so that the enemy of the soul, it does not pay to start asking the enemy of the soul doesn't this part of the Bible, this text, it gives us this advice. Instead, we should ask the voice of the Word of God with a mind full of prayer. Go forth and ask, what is the will of God? What would God wish for me to do? We have a wonderful help which each child of God has, and that is a believing companion, a believing friend, believing friends who, together with us, with a mind full of prayers, can examine and discuss what is it that the Heavenly Father would wish for us to do. We shouldn't wonder, what do I want to do? But instead, we should humble ourselves and ask for guidance from the Holy Spirit in matters of concerning our lives. There are as many answers as there are people. At the speakers and elders meeting, a concern was risen. There are unborn children. During these times, it seems that everyone doesn't want to accept the will of God concerning how many children one should want in the family. Marriage, caring for it, and it's how can we get a marriage to be safe? We need believing companions. Sometimes issues can be so locked in the home, for that snake is there in the home giving the wrong advice. This snake would like to give the kind of advice and tell you to run in opposite directions. And God has given marriage partners. And these marriage partners are our companions. And we would all like to reach that heavenly destination. Then in this text, we come to the part after they had eaten that fruit, their eyes opened and they noticed a brand new thing, that they were naked. For a moment, if we stop here, when Adam and Eve were created and God put them together and they were naked and they were not ashamed. So what now happened to this couple? All of a sudden they realized that they were naked. What happened? This is where they fell. And all of a sudden, this nakedness became something to be ashamed of. And the feeling that I no longer am acceptable to God came about. Then, when they noticed that they were naked, they wanted very quickly to cover their nakedness. They wanted to sew clothing so that their nakedness and the shame could not be seen. This is how we are. When we see our own sinfulness, we try to cover it up. We perhaps start to do good deeds or good acts, and somehow we have to hide that sinfulness so that we could be acceptable to God. And what happened here in this text? And God was there in paradise. And Adam and Eve, they went to hide. And we can see this picture. A person who has fallen into sin. He doesn't have strength to go before the Heavenly Father and say, hey, this is what happened to me. No, instead we want to run and hide. So here we can see how much the Heavenly Father loved the man and woman whom he created. And the Lord God called Adam and said, where are you? God did not reject Adam and Eve, but he called out and said, where are you? Has this changed today? If someone has fallen, the Heavenly Father, even today, he calls and beckons in such a loving way to one who has fallen. He calls, come into the kingdom of God. Come before the face of God just as you are, for you can have grace. I think someone may be listening to this sermon, a person who is thinking that God cannot see me today. I am listening far away. I am not there in Vasa. You may be listening to the radio alone or at the internet alone. And you may be thinking that God cannot see me. I want to listen to that word. Someone may be listening on the other side of the world through the internet. Can God see this far away? God can see that far away. And he calls you. Even if this sermon is going through the translation, God's call is calling to you. You can have this same promise that this text tells about. You could own this for yourself. The gaze of God, it can see those believing people who have not made it to the summer services for many different reasons. You may be there. You may be ill. You maybe could not come for work reasons or school reasons. You did not make it to summer services. Or maybe you didn't have the money. The Heavenly Father can see you. There, where you are, he is almighty and he can see all. And he can see this moment that you are living. Today, and your tomorrow and your future. He knows your difficulties, and he knows your situation, and he knows your distress and your anxiety, and he wants to bring to you comfort there where you are. You dear brother and sister, you can let your heart rise up and believe all your sins and doubts and temptations of that snake and all your sin. You can believe this all forgiven in the name and atoning blood of Jesus. Then there is an explanation of this fall. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Did you notice that Adam was not at fault? But this is what Adam said, that it was not his fault. It was the woman's fault. This is how we are. If something happens, it wasn't me. Yeah. We often hear that it was not me. This is familiar, even between couples. We may think that the problems in our family, they are the fault of the other. How can I even live with that person? And we find all kinds of things that are wrong with that other person. Has it been so that when the gospel has been preached, hasn't that other person, the spouse, begin to appear to be the world's best possible partner for me? Then it continues. God said, why did you do it? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt eat all the days of thy life. And then comes the text part, the light that is in this text. And I will put an enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This was the promise, the word of promise to the people of the Old Testament. And it was based on this promise that they went forward to travel the narrow way. God will send a Messiah. In many sermons, text parts from the Old Testament have come forth where we have seen this promise that once that Messiah will be born who will reconcile your sins. I want to remember here about that journey in the wilderness. For it fits this text. There, the people of Israel, they began to complain. I don't remember why. Was the food bad or what was the reason? But they were unsatisfied. They were murmuring against Moses and Aaron and God. And God sent those poisonous snakes into the midst of those people. And that poisonous snake, when it would bite, then the person was in danger of dying. This shows how dangerous sin is. It is so dangerous to our faith. It doesn't pay to carry with you. It pays for you to put it away and believe it forgiven in the name and blood of Jesus. And then there in the wilderness, they began to have great distress. And Moses turned to God, and God gave that beautiful picture of the new Messiah, of which the evangelists also wrote. What happened? Moses got the command, make a bronze snake and lift it up on his stick and proclaim the simple gospel. Whosoever the snake has bitten, then that person should look at that bronze snake and he would be healed. Would that heal us if the poisonous snake today would bite us? But if this snake of sin, if it would bite us, then nothing else will help except the living gospel, believing sins forgiven. Otherwise, that sin will eat our faith and our strength. Sin is thoughts and acts and deeds that would separate us from God. If I have time, I would read and take a look at Psalm 50. Nathan had cared for David. God, wash me clean from my sins and forgive me for my sins. Have mercy upon me, God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Isn't it so? that when we fall, the conscience is sick. And then we are able to tell somebody the matters that press our heart. Don't we have, when we are able to put our sin away, when we, even the named sins, when we can put them away, don't we have a light heart? Putting away sin, it helps to lighten our load so that taking the next steps is so much easier. We, today's believers, we can look at things that have happened, the events that took place on Golgotha, on behalf of our sins, how the innocent Lord Jesus was condemned to die a death on the cross, and he let his blood bleed on behalf of your and my and the entire sins of the whole world. And he was buried, but even the grave could not contain him. That snake did bite the heel, but that heel destroyed that serpent. Death was not victorious. Jesus Christ rose up so we one day can rise and go to a brand new brilliant day in a brand new brilliant body. All we have to do is believe in the middle of this world, this bad world. I still wish to return to this garment. First, Adam and Eve were naked, and that was okay. And then something happened, and they had to start putting clothing on. But that was not acceptable. So the Lord God made coats of skins. The Bible tells us how. When we go to a wedding, we go with wedding garments. The prodigal son, he was dressed in clean clothing. Joshua remembered how his dirty clothing was removed and he was given clean garments to wear. The garments of righteousness, with these, we are acceptable. On that last day, people are twofold. The fallen flesh, we don't want to show. We are clothed in clean wedding garments, and with these garments we will be acceptable. And these garments, through grace, we have received as gifts, and they are this garment can be lost when we fall before that serpent, but we can gain the grace of repentance, and we can remove those dirty clothes, and we can once again dress in clean clothing. John wrote about his vision, how he saw that huge throng of people dressed in white clothing, and they came from great trials, but they washed their clothing, and the blood of the Lamb cleansed them. It is with this kind of clothing that we can reach our eternal home. You dear unbelieving person, if you feel that you are still wearing dirty clothing, you can have a clean garment to wear if you believe your sins and your unbelief forgiven, in the name and blood of Jesus, He has given poor children of God the keys to preach this gospel. And everyone who accepts this invitation is saved. And you, beloved sister and brother, to you, the service days may have gone so that you have not even stopped to hear the word of God. Perhaps this word has not yet even talked to you. And here we are, Sunday night. I want to remind you that this good shepherd, his voice is preaching. You can believe, all of your sins forgiven in the name and blood of Jesus. Believe all sins forgiven in the name and blood of Jesus. Onto peace, freedom, and joy, you can believe. You may be listening and on your journey home, or you may be out there in the caravans. And that snake may be there, causing you to say bad words. And I want to also preach there to you that you can believe and put away all these bad matters. You can put them away in the name and blood of Jesus. And also, I thought it doesn't even connect with this text, but I heard one evening at a men's evening, there are many children and young people here. We have such a desire. We parents and we speakers, we want to talk to you at these services. Children may have been disobedient, and these can be believed forgiven. Jesus was a friend of the children, and we want to preach to you the living gospel. You can believe all your sins forgiven. And also at the speakers and elders meeting, a thought came to my mind when we were discussing families. We need to remember to bless the little children during the evening prayers. It is such a safe way to go to sleep. And one brother related, when a little boy who had just learned how to speak, and he raised his hand and blessed his father. You young children and young people, you too. You too are high priests in this congregation. You too can preach forgiveness of sins to your parents when you see that it is needed. Isn't this good? When little children preach the forgiveness of sins to their parents, even if the parents don't ask, it is the enemy of the soul who will prevent us from asking for forgiveness. You don't even have to raise your hand. Even at this moment, you should again. You can believe all of your sins forgiven in the name and blood of Jesus. unto peace, freedom, and joy. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. We will pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this service day, for this beautiful sunny day, and for the rays of that sun of grace that has been shining here at the Vasa summer services. The rays of this sun have been warming our hearts. Father, we ask, some have already departed and gone home, and others are still staying here for the night. Dear Father, be you here with your angels, protecting us, that nothing bad would happen, that we could wake up tomorrow morning with energy and enjoy the last service day. And the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen.